I went on down to my favorite fishing hole. Around I got myself a pole and line.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and it just so happens, we're not quite in studio, but we have with us today one of the premier chefs for outdoor cooking, game, and, well, I'll tell you what, Scott, just so I don't screw it up, why don't you tell us what you do?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. I have a show on Sportsman Channel called The Sporting Chef. I also have another show on there called Dead Meat, where we go after the fish and game less pursued. Have you had Nutria lately?
Nutria.
It's just a big rat in Louisiana.
Oh.
Python, iguana, carp, you know, stuff that most people don't eat. But the Sporting Chef, and sportingchef.com is my website. There's 400-plus free recipes there. How to make the most of your fishing game. I had, you know, you've talked about seminars and things that I do, and so I'm all over the place. I travel a lot. The reason that most people know me is just because I've been doing this longer than most.
And I'll tell you what, I've seen what's great to go to one of his demonstrations or lectures is that you get fed, and it's incredible stuff. Of course, what you do, I guess because of the nature of what you do, everything is so simple. I mean, you can be standing up and you start with a bare skillet and you're talking for 5 minutes. The next thing you know, you've got this platter of fine appetizers and hors d'oeuvres and snacks.
Well, if a recipe is too complicated, I don't think anybody's going to do it anyway. At least most people won't. And the way I can keep people awake during a seminar is to have them getting up and sitting down and getting up and sitting down, and you keep feeding them. If they just had to sit there and listen to me blather for 40 minutes, they'd fall asleep. I don't know how you hold your audience, because I gotta feed them. That's the only way it works for me.
Well, it does work. But let's kind of go into what we'd like to talk about. And, you know, this is basically the onset of the summer season, and which hopefully means taking the family or friends, neighbors, or nephews and nieces, or, you know, borrow a neighborhood kid if you have to, and get out, whether it's for a day or a week, and, you know, go enjoy nature. Hopefully you're going to be able to reap some rewards so that you can provide your dinner. And, you know, that's really what it's about. And it doesn't, like as you said, it doesn't have to be that complicated. So why don't we turn it over to you and just kind of let you go in a direction on some recommendations, how to do things, why, different kinds of like that. And then I'll just sit here and drink my orange juice.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that most people do is they make it a lot harder on themselves than they should. Anything that you can prepare in your kitchen at home, you can prepare at a campground. Whether you do it in a Dutch oven or a grill or a piece of foil wrapped fish that you throw on top of of charcoal or campfire coals, really the key to me is to do as much prep as you can before you leave the house. If you stop by the grocery store and you're buying celery and carrots and tomatoes, and then you're spending time trying to maintain some kind of cleanliness in a campground while you're chopping everything up, it's so much easier if you do all your prep at home. You make your sauces at home, you bring a little marinade, you make a little vinaigrette, you put it into containers, whether it's Ziploc bags or plastic containers, you load it up into your cooler. And if you have stuff that you can freeze ahead of time, let's say you've got you want to do grilled onions, celery, carrots, a lot of times you can put that in the freezer for a while, get it nice and cold. I like to vacuum pack everything with a food saver deal, pack it into a cooler, and then you're ready to go. And always have a backup plan. Many times I've thought, you know what, we caught so much fish last year.
There's
no way we're not going to catch enough trout for dinner.
Right.
Whether you're stuck in Hell's Canyon somewhere or at a trout stream in the Sierras, really, it doesn't hurt to bring a little chicken along just in case.
Oh, good idea. Well, and the chicken's easy and it's cheap, and as long as you keep it cold, you don't have to use it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, basically any heat source can cook just about anything you want. If you wanted to bake biscuits, you can do it in a Dutch oven, put a lid on it. The reason they call it a Dutch oven is because it works just like an oven. You get it well seasoned. You put a little oil in there. You can put your dough in the inside, put the lid on, put coals on the top, coals on the bottom. Boom, you got an oven. There's no reason why you shouldn't have freshly baked bread. And for me, it's easier to bring along a tube of rolls.
Mm-hmm.
As it is to try and make rolls from scratch or to bring bread along that's going to get mashed up or that the birds are going to eat.
Okay.
So, to me, whatever you can do at home, you can do in the campground.
Well, Scott, let me just make a quick comment because I just did an interview about cast iron cooking. And we had Steve Meyer on that's kind of an expert on that. And we're talking about that subject of baking biscuits or bread in a cast iron skillet. And the first time I saw it done, I couldn't believe that these biscuits came out golden brown, top and bottom. I expected the bottom to be burnt and the top would not be done. But the whole trick is you put it on the coals, but I think he said you put about 8 coals on the bottom and 16 on the top.
Sure.
And it creates a heat, you know, completely surrounding it. It'll take it up to about 350 degrees. And if the skillet is properly seasoned, it's incredible how they come out. You'd be really surprised how well that works.
And another good thing about cast iron is no matter how much you abuse it, always bring it back to life. I don't care if you leave it out in the rain, and we've done this on the show. We have a guy, C.W. Welch. He had a show on PBS for a long time. He is our cast iron expert on the Sporting Chef TV show, and he's taken rusty old cast iron Dutch ovens that have been left out in the rain, put a wire brush to them, seasoned them again. You know, cast iron is very porous, so you just have to be careful how you season it. And then basically, once you get it that way, you can wipe it out with a mildly soapy rag, give it a rinse, make sure it's dry, mm-hmm. put a little cast iron conditioner in it, and it's ready to go. It's so much better than the high-dollar cookware that takes so much more care.
Really does.
And you feel really bad when you ruin it.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, they've got cookware now that's cast iron, but they coat it with different ceramics or something to make it more expensive. But the other thing about cast iron, which is a kind of a tip, is, first of all, it's not that expensive.
No.
But the best way to do it is the garage sales and flea markets.
Yeah, people don't know what they're worth.
Yeah. Yeah, and the older the better. Actually, some of the older ones are probably better than some of the newer ones.
Sure. So that's basically the deal with it when it comes to camp cooking. Camp Chef is the title sponsor of our show, so we cook a lot outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another tip when you're getting charcoal going, when you bring your gas grill with you, whether you've got – if you have the gas grill with you, you take one of those chimneys, you put the charcoal in the chimney. Instead of putting the paper on the bottom, you set it right on top of your propane burner, light it that way. There's no mess. And I don't know about you, but I've never trusted those charcoal chimneys anyway. I always put lighter fluid on them. Even though I know
they do work.
Not
they really
to.
Do work. But give them a little bit of boost, doesn't hurt.
And you're not supposed to do that, but I do it anyway.
I know. I get in trouble for saying I use a microwave.
Right.
But anyway, Scott, we're going to take a break. But before we do, I'm going to ask you a question that you probably can give a quick answer without even thinking about it. But if you're going to be going on a camping trip and cooking out, whether it's in a motorhome or, you know, in a tent or whatever it is, I want you to give us a list of things that we need to take with us for one night, and then a different list for, like, if you're going to be gone for a whole week. What do you pack in your camping chest?
We'll wait for the answer?
Yes, we'll wait for the answer.
Got you
because
covered.
That's what we'll do as soon as we come back. But we would like to make sure that everybody knows you can go to fishtalkradio.com and listen to Scott in this show as many times as you want, because there's some great information that you're going to want to listen to again and again. And then you can go to Facebook. And then, of course, Scott, it's the Sporting Chef. What's the website?
Sporting sportingchef.com.
Sportingchef.com. Well, we should be able to remember that. But go to, if not, go to fishtalkradio.com and you'll find it all over the place, or go to us on Facebook. So we're going to be right back with the answer to the question of if you're going to be going away for an overnight trip or a week-long trip. Scott's going to give you a list, and maybe we'll even try and put that on Facebook to help people out that can't remember it. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santo's Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
I got out my shovel and went out to dig some bait. Got a pail with some.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. Well, if you've been listening to the first section that we've had with Scott Laseth, the sporting chef, we asked him a question right before we went to break. And that question is, and I don't think Scott has to even think about preparing for this question, if you're going to go for an overnight camping trip, what do you need to put in your camping box? Or if you're going for a week, what do you need to put in it? Scott, would you mind coming back with that?
No, it's fine. I'll tell you, my everyday two- or three-night cook box, it's a metal box with a lid. It's waterproof. The cheaper way to go is to just get a $35 rolling cooler at Walmart. And that way, they've got plenty of room in them. But I always have one of those single-burner butane stoves just in case. You know, you get up to the mountains, and it's raining, and it makes it really hard to build a fire. At least this way, you always have a heat source. You can always cook something. Mm-hmm. You can get those for $20 or less. They come in a plastic case, a couple of extra things of butane fuel.
That's the one that that the chefs and catering people use. It's just like
if you go to the omelet station somewhere on the weekend, it's the same thing the chefs are using. If you go to an Asian market, they're usually cheap. The fuels are cheaper there.
Huh, interesting tip.
I get a a skillet that I'm not too attached to that, you know, you get for $10 at the same Asian market, throw one of those in there. Pan spray, tongs, spatula, a couple different kinds of seasoning, paper towels, soap will get me pretty much wherever I need to go. As long as you've got the seasoning and you've got a little pan spray, you don't have to worry about olive oil going rancid while it sits in your garage. And if you've got seasoning, you may not have a great sauce with you, but that way you've got the basics. You can cook anything. You know, obviously it wouldn't hurt to throw some foil in there. And by the way, if you're going to buy foil, they should make standard grade aluminum foil illegal. It always rips.
Yeah. Get the heavy duty stuff.
Always buy heavy duty foil. Otherwise, it rips. You have to redo your foil all the time anyway. So get some heavy duty foil, fold it up into a nice tight package, unless you have room in the box to put the roll in there. But you're going to use foil. Ziploc bags, a few different sizes, are never a bad idea. And I always buy the freezer, the heavier gauge freezer Ziploc bags as opposed to the thin, cheap ones that always seem to break through and leak anyway.
Well, actually, the bags you're talking about, sometimes you just put whatever you want to and put it in boiling water and cook it in the bag.
You know, I'm sure you've heard about how to make your own omelet. So rather than bringing a bunch of eggs that are going to crack when you try and transport them, you crack all your eggs into a Ziploc bag and keep it in the cooler. And then you hand people Ziploc bags. And now there's some discussion over some Ziploc bags you shouldn't put in boiling water because of whatever is going to happen to you. But if you're a thrill seeker and you feel okay about your Ziploc bag, picture you've already got your eggs. It's already beaten up. You give people their Ziploc bag with eggs. You set up a little omelet station. They can put whatever they want, throw it into the bag, seal the bag, drop it into just barely boiling water in your Dutch oven, and it's going to create its own omelet inside that Ziploc bag.
Yeah, just throw a few veggies and, you know, some hot dogs.
Whatever you want in there. Last night's leftovers.
Yeah, or of course the vacuum bags, those are indestructible in water.
Right.
But so it just reminds me of a friend of mine that used to have what he called his camp box, and he would always keep it maintained. And so when he'd come back, he'd resupply it. And it had most of the things that you talked about. And then, of course, you know, you take that and then you take your food things. But why don't you give us a quick idea? That's a great idea, by the way. But why don't you, let's just say we do get lucky and get a few trout. Tell us what to do.
You know, trout doesn't have a lot of flavor. It's a pretty mild fish. So the easiest way, I like to bring a little string with me, and I like to keep it very simple. I'm not going to try and fillet a one-pound trout. I typically leave the head on. I'll gut it, give it a little rinse, season it inside and out, and I'm going to always bring lemon, lime, garlic, onion with me. I'm going to put that inside the cavity, and then I'm going to tie the whole thing together with a little string.
Really?
Put it in foil and put it right on top of the coals.
Oh, okay. Now, just remember when you're cleaning that, you want to get anything that's red, including the gills. You can leave the head on, but you got to take the gills out and any of that red line that goes down through.
Oh, absolutely. And with any fish, if you've got a bloodline in it, it's not going to help the flavor. If you've got salmon and you get that gray part on the outside after it's cooked, that kind of mealy part, that's going to give it a much more pronounced flavor. Smaller trout isn't quite as critical. I like to eat the trout skin, and so if that's the case, I like to put a little oil on the outside, get it on direct heat, and get it crispy. I don't like not crispy trout skin.
Yeah.
You can get panfish, and if you've ever fried them, and you eat the little fins, and it's like little potato chips, crispy, and they're extremely edible.
Interesting.
And then rather than trying to fillet it, once you just serve the whole trout on the plate, I mean, we're camping anyway, you can either eat around the bones, or the easiest way is just to kind of put it on its back and pull the whole skeleton out at once, and then you can you can eat the fish.
Well, you know, trout come with their own instructions, their rainbows, because they've got dots down the side. And, you know, what that is those where those dots are, you just take two forks and kind of insert it and then just pull the flesh back, and then it just comes right out.
Right.
But, you know, those that but you do it after it's cooked. That way you don't lose anything.
Well, and another thing I like to do, I like a mild vinaigrette with mm-hmm. you know, with stream trout. If you just put together some freshly squeezed lemon juice, olive oil, garlic, a little bit of maybe rice vinegar in there, some fresh herbs if you have it, throw that into a bag, throw your just caught cleaned trout in there and just leave them in there for an hour or so. And then either you can put them in a pan, put them over a grate, put them in foil, and it's going to give it a little bit more flavor. And before I serve fish, whether it's at home or at camp, I like putting a nice big squeeze of fresh lemon or lime or both right on top of it before it goes to the table. If you make some compound butter, you get butter and you soften it.
Good idea.
And you put some lemon and lime zest, some garlic, some fresh basil, maybe a little red pepper flakes. You put that into some wax paper or plastic wrap, form it in the shape of a tube and stick it in your freezer. Put that in your cooler, and as you're serving that trout to everybody, you just put a couple of slices of that compound butter on top of the trout and let it melt out all over the trout so that it makes its own sauce and it blends with whatever seasoning you put on there.
That sounds great.
And, you know, butter.
Right. Now, you mentioned you lemon zest, so you're not talking about lemon juice. But an easy tip is if you can put lemons in the freezer, and then whenever you want to, you just pull them out on a grater and just kind of shave some off.
Sure. You can use a microplaner or a grater, and just as long as you don't go too deep, you want to get the yellow part, not mm-hmm. the pithy white part, because
right.
that's can be a little bitter.
That's where the flavor is, right.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a great idea. Matter of fact, that's something you could make and just keep around all the time, not just for camping.
Oh, yeah. I have a whole bunch of different flavored butters that I have in my freezer. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm cooking a piece of venison or a ribeye steak, I'm going to put a little pad of maybe of like a blue cheese Cabernet butter on top of a grilled venison
steak. Never thought of that.
Yeah, it's great.
So really, blue cheese and butter, and just whip it together?
What, you take softened butter, put some blue cheese crumbles. If you wanted to give it a little color, you can reduce some red wine and kind of swirl that in there, and then freeze the whole thing, and you just put a couple of tablespoons on top of a steak right off the grill and serve it, and it makes a big difference.
Wow, we got all kinds of stuff. We don't have a lot of time, but fortunately, your recipes are, you can do a recipe and go through it. I know I've seen you do it in 90 seconds. Do you have time to pick one out that might be a simple one that people might want to try while they're camping?
You know, go to the website, go to the Sporting Chef website. Mm-hmm. When it's summertime, nothing I like better than summertime homegrown or farmer's market tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I like to take fresh tomato, avocado, red onion, olive oil, capers, garlic, just put it into a bowl, let it sit at room temperature. When you take your freshly grilled fish off the grill, put a little butter on it, give it a squeeze of lemon, and then just put a tablespoon or two or more of that room temperature, delicious, homegrown tomato-flavored salsa right on top.
Wow, that sounds incredible. Would you just name those ingredients one more time quick?
Boy, I don't know.
For the sauce.
I don't know if I can. Let's
yeah, I know. You make
tomato,
it up as you go.
Avocado, caper, red onion, garlic, you know, basil wouldn't hurt too, olive oil maybe a little bit. You know, you're basically making a salsa with fresh ingredients. If you want it to be a little crunchy, put a little cucumber in there, and create your own salsa using fresh seasonal ingredients with fresh fish that you just cooked, and it'll taste infinitely better than anything you can get at the restaurant.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, is there is anybody that's listening to this show and enjoyed the show, and they don't go to the sportingchef.com, and also we're going to have some stuff posted on fishtalkradio.com that and you can listen to the entire show again on that also. It's real easy. It's right on the front page. And take some of these and use some of these ideas and maybe give us some ideas about putting your own camper box together, some of the stuff you need to have in it. And it's not just a box that you're going to get ready and take for the weekend. It's something you have and you keep, and, you know, it's ready whenever you want to go camping or go do something.
And check out the Sporting Chef TV show airs on Sunday mornings Pacific time at 9:30 a.m. on Sportsman Channel. You can also go to carbontv.com and watch the show anytime. Watch show clips. We've got rednecks, James Beard award-winning chefs, restaurant chefs, We got everybody, and it's what I call short attention span cooking. The segments are very short, yeah. and we want you to check out the show. We appreciate people that watch.
Okay, well, it looks like we're getting kicked out of here. We appreciate that, Scott, and we'll be right back with Fish Talk Radio.
Stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500 you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts, glory, Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
It's a beautiful day, oh, what do you say? Let's go fishing. What a wonderful way to spend the day just a fishing. Oh, the water on the lake is smooth as glass. Oh, we might catch a sunny, we might catch a bass. Oh, what do you say? Let's go fishing.
All fish, Maple Lake, French Lake, Grand Lake, Cedar Lake, Pleasant Lake, Clear Lake, Bass Lake, Otter Lake, Goose Lake, Gull Lake, Round Lake, Clear Lake.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the pleasure of having on the line with us Eddie. I'm not sure your title, but I believe you're, well, I know you basically run the place, but we don't want to tell anybody that. But you're the marketing manager, you're marketing manager for the Van Wormer Resorts.
Yes.
And that includes Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol?
Correct. Playa del Sol and Villas de Cortez, and hopefully one day soon again, Punta Colorado as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about that, but we'll talk about that another time. We've got too much to cover in this one. But
sure.
What we'd like to cover is there are numerous, I don't know, a dozen, maybe, I don't know, more. And I don't even know if you know how many there are. But fishing tournaments in Baja Sur, which is, southern Baja, starting from, Loreto all the way down to Cabo San Lucas.
Yeah.
And it's just in the summertime and in the fall in particular, there's just one almost every weekend. So
it seems that way.
Give us an idea about what some of them are and maybe an idea of price ranges depending on what people want to do. And I know you've got at least one or two coming up that's a lot of fun. So let's kind of start anywhere you want to and just kind of name some and when they happen.
Yeah, you know, we tournament season pretty much starts in May, and every town in Southern Baja has their own tournament, which is named after the town. And so we start with those, and those are very inexpensive. Those are mainly started for locals to participate in, something to give back to the community. Usually the government sponsors them, and they'll put the purse up for them. But everyone's welcome to join. You know, anyone from the States or from Europe or from other parts of Mexico, they come down and fish these tournaments, and they're very inexpensive. And depending on what time of the year is, it'll kind of depend on the species of the fish that we go after. You know, sometimes early in the year, in April, May, we have a lot of yellowtail tournaments, mm-hmm. and then it kind of moves on from there. Here at Van Wormer Resorts at Palmas de Cortez in July, this year it'll be July 18th, we have actually the biggest tournament as far as participation goes. We have an average for the last 10 years of about 130 teams, and that's the Dorado Shootout.
Wow.
And that's the one-day tournament. Biggest Dorado caught on that Saturday, July 18th. Takes home a pickup truck.
It seems to me, if I remember last year, the fishing was not all that strong, and the guy that won the truck, you know, wasn't that big of a Dorado.
No, it was actually a woman who won the tournament. She fished on her ponga with her captain, and she landed I believe it was right around maybe 43 pounds, so it wasn't very big, and she ended up walking away with the truck. You know, the great thing about this tournament, which is why I think it draws so much attention and so many participants, is the low entry fee. You got a $500 entry fee. There are cash jackpots available, and we usually give away about 80 grand in those cash jackpots. So to get across the board, you're looking at about $2,500, and that's for the whole team, and you're in across the board, and you can win 80 grand in a pickup truck. And then from there, we have in October, we run kind of a similar tournament, which is called the Tuna Shootout. Same format, same entry fee, same jackpot, except there's no truck. This one's about the money. So instead of going out to get a truck, we basically just give you the money on that one. But the same format, biggest tuna will take it home on that one. And then there's some other great ones as well down here in the East Cape. We have the East Cape Bisbee, which is August 4th to the 8th, and that's the Bisbee black and blue tournaments. So you're fishing for marlin on those. Those are a little bit more, I think, across the board on those. You're looking at about 15 grand to get in those, so you're looking at a little bit higher, but a lot more payout as well. And then you got the biggest one as far as payout goes, which is in October, and I think that's going to be October 20th to the 24th, and that's the big Bisbee black and blue in Cabo, and that's got anywhere from a $1 to $2 million payout.
Well, I remember, I think it was Bad Company 5 out of Hawaii about 5-6 years ago. Their
$4 million, I think.
Their check was $3,900,000.
Yeah.
because they didn't win at all, but they got, I think they got, it's a daily pool, so they got overall, then they won one day, and then came in second place one day. But
keep in mind, to get in that one, you got to get across the board in that one, it's 70 grand. So it's not for me and you.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty fun to watch.
They're all real fun tournaments down here. We have so many different species of fish down here that you can basically have a tournament for anything. You know, you can have a rooster fish tournament, which we do have here. We have a fly fishing rooster fish tournament, and we have a conventional tackle rooster fish tournament, all catch and release. And those you basically fish with people that are not on your team. So basically, if there's three guys on the boat, you're going to be fishing with yourself and two guys who are on two different teams. That way, everybody kind of keeps monitoring each other.
So it's a team effort, but you don't fish with your teammates.
Exactly. That way it kind of keeps an eye on, since it's rooster fish are all catch and release, keep an eye on everybody. And you also make new friends that way.
There you go. Well, you bring them in and measure them and throw them back, or what?
Yeah, they have a stick, basically, and they have to reach a certain stick limit, and basically they have it taped off, and then they bring it in. If it reaches the limit, then it counts as one, and whoever catches and releases the most wins that tournament.
Okay, so it's not necessarily the biggest, but they have to be qualifying fish.
Correct. Yeah, we don't want to keep them out of the water too long and weigh them or anything like that. So we just basically put them up against a stick. If they qualify, they're good, and we put them right back in the water and release them.
Well, I tell you, rooster fishing is those things. It's just so much fun. You know, they're. And again, you don't have to go in a big boat offshore with sonar. I mean, just a ponga, you know, 50 yards offshore with a sandy beach with some rocks and crystal clear water. You put a bait in the water, and it's you can actually see the rooster fish kind of starting to follow the bait, and then the tail or the fin coming up and just heading for the bait. It's so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, actually, yesterday I was at the dock watching the boat come in, getting some pictures of the catch, and there was a rooster right around the dock, just chasing bait like crazy, making a big old splash, jumping all over the place, and kind of caught my out of the corner of my eye. I saw it, and then we were like, "What was that?" And then someone goes, "It's a big rooster." And then we saw it just chasing bait right in front of the dock.
Wow!
So they're even as close as you know, right there. You can catch them from the beach, from the dock, from pongas. They're like
which is about 30 yards from your room and about 20 yards from the bar.
Exactly.
Good times. Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, catch and release. Now, some of the tournaments, they have to be brought in and weighed in. And I know that there's a lot of people trying to get away from that. But, you know, if you've got a couple million dollars at stake, you know, like a Bisbee Black and Blue, it's pretty hard to do it without bringing in the evidence.
But, yeah, correct. They do a great job of keeping that to a minimum as well. What they do is they basically will radio in, hey, we've got a 500-pound marlin. If you bring anything lower than 500, you're going to get negative points, so don't bring it in. So that's how they keep people from just bringing in all kinds of random fish. Oh. We've actually have statistics that show, like during the Dorado shootout, people do kill the Dorado and bring it in. But because they're looking for one big Dorado, and that's it, we actually kill less Dorado during that tournament than on any other given day. Because on a given day, a boat will go out and maybe catch, you know, 8 to 10 Dorado, bring them in. These guys, as soon as they catch one big one, they're racing to the scale to get that fish on the scale because it's going to lose 2 pounds every hour because of the water weight. Mm-hmm. So they want to get it in as soon as possible. So we actually have statistics that show we actually kill less Dorado on that day than we do on any other given day.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, let's cover real quickly why there's so many tournaments in the Sea of Cortez, in particular in Southern Baja.
Well, you know, in Southern Baja, there are so many different species of fish that you can go after that you can pretty much have a tournament for anything. You can have marlin tournaments, roosterfish tournaments, Dorado tournaments. You can have, tuna,
yellowtail.
All those different tournaments, yellowtail, exactly. And we do. We have all of those tournaments that I just named. We have tournaments for all of them. And the fishing, you know, it can be, it's pretty much year-round except for the winter months when you get a little bit of wind. But then in Cabo San Lucas, they don't get the winds that we do in the wintertime. So you can pretty much have tournaments
you've been there
year-round.
January, February.
Exactly, which is kind of peak time over there in Cabo San Lucas. So, you know, the fishing's so good. There's a lot of people that come out here, and they want to have fun. And they range from just, you know, fun tournaments. Like, you know, we do a lot of little tournaments here that are put on by different people. And they're just fun tournaments just to come down and have fun. And there's no entry fee to as expensive as, like I said, the Bisbee Black and Blue, which is $70,000. So and everywhere in the middle. So really, depending on your budget and what you want to do, you can get into a tournament like that and have fun. And even if you've never fished a tournament, you know, try fishing the Dorado Shootout. It's a one-day tournament that anybody can win because, John, on any given day, anybody can catch a big Dorado.
It's a little bit of the luck of the draw. Skill helps, but you don't have to spend a lot of money. Now, if somebody wanted to come down and do that, give us a quick idea of the price. You can fly into Cabo San Lucas from anywhere in the country for a very reasonable price, and then you guys have a shuttle service to take you up. So once you get there, what would be a package price, say, for someone that wanted to come, say, for 4 days or 4 nights or something like that and fish?
I like to give people an average, you know, for 5 days, 4 nights, with 3 days fishing, you're looking at about $1,000 per person.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll include your boat, your accommodation.
Oh.
And then after that, you're going to be looking at probably a little bit, you know, if you're going to spend, money on drinks and you're going to be tipping the captain and stuff like that. So you got to budget all that in there. Once you got that, just the initial package of rooms and boats, then you're looking at, you know, whatever you'd like to spend in addition to
so
that.
So how many days fishing would that be with 4 days?
That would be about 4 nights with 3 days fishing.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah,
no, you can't.
It's definitely affordable.
Yeah, definitely. And to get world-class big game fishing like that is incredible. Eddie,
yeah.
It looks like we're coming to the top of the hour, bottom of the hour, and you did a fantastic job. But real quickly again, it is Van Warmer Resorts, and the website is?
It's www.vanwarmerresorts.com.
Vanwarmerresorts.com. And, of course, we want you to go to Fish Talk Radio. And on there, it's real easy to get to the Van Warmer Resorts. And you can also listen to Eddie again at any time by going back to it again and again. If you're listening to Fish Talk Radio, we appreciate that.
Yeah, come back. A buckskin, a little haggard.